Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, January 24th, 2025, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 74. The first full paragraph beginning with, if we cannot or would not do this, through one paragraph ending with, but always considerate of others. And we're going to read and comment on just that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Robin P. reading the text, Teresa M. will read page 164, and Julie E. B. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Judith R., and announcements will be Shelley E. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, January 23rd, 2025, is 22107 or 22107. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22109 or 22109. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Terry G. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. Thank you for your service, Stephanie, and good morning to everyone. Terry G. from Pensacola, Florida. I am a food addict, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove the list of all persons that we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made a direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be of service. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Terry G. And I will now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, everyone. This is Rhonda R. in Memphis, Tennessee. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, Stephanie, for your service and for the opportunity to do service today. That I'll pass.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Rhonda R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, and then we stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement from moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 74, the first full paragraph, beginning with, if we cannot or would rather not do this, through one paragraph, ending with, but always considerate of others. And we're going to read and comment on that one paragraph this morning. And I will now ask Robin P. to please get us started. Good morning, Robin.
Oh, good morning, Stephanie. Thanks so much for your service. I'm Robin P., and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. If we cannot or would rather not do this, we search our acquaintance for a closed-mouth, understanding friend. Perhaps our doctor or psychologist will be the person. It may be one of our own family, but we cannot disclose anything to our wives or our parents which would hurt them and make them unhappy. We have no right to save our own skin at another person's expense. Such parts of our story we tell to someone who would understand, yet be unaffected. The rule is we must be hard on ourselves, but always considerate of others. And, you know, I've done several fifth steps, and I've received several fifth steps, and I've always done it with my sponsor. I know people have done it with clergy and therapists and friends, but I always felt like I built up enough safety and trust with my sponsor to be able to share that with her. And that's who I, you know, I love my sponsor. I'm so grateful for my sponsor. She's like an angel with clothes on. And that's who I would choose again to do another fifth step. And I do 10 steps today. You know, I'm on a 10th step WhatsApp group where there's hundreds of people on it. It's such a blessing. And I'm also, I've got a God squad where I can text and say, hey, I need a 10th step like I did last night. So I'm so grateful that there's so many people in this program that I can go to with a fifth step and feel safe, or a 10th step and know that I'm working my recovery safely. And I think it's such a miracle. You know, I've always heard that positive vulnerability is the antidote to shame. And I've always felt that to be true. I grew up in so much shaming, so much child abuse that I was so afraid of feeling vulnerable because I thought it was the same as shame, and it isn't. And so part of that is finding a person that I feel safe with, or that you would feel safe with, to do this. And I've always felt so grateful. Every time I've done a fifth step with a sponsor, I've always felt so grateful and got such great feedback. And it's always just been peeling off that layer, you know, and those fifth step promises are on the next page, you know, after we do these. So I just think whoever, you know, tuning into God and asking who's the right person for your fifth step, they'll always show up. You know, when the student's ready, the teacher always appears. So I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful for all of you. I'm just so inspired by this amazing group of people, and it works every single time. You know, as long as I'm willing to work it, it always works. God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinent day and weekend. And I pass. And thanks again, Stephanie, and everyone who makes this possible.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Robin P. All right. We're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others to share the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to get in there. And I'll remind you when your time is up, and we ask that you please finish promptly so others can share too. So if you would like to share on this paragraph, please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share? Janice P.M. All right. Got you, Janice.
Thank you.
Margaret E. Jordan.
I've got you, Margaret. And that, was that a D as in dog?
Absolutely. Good guess.
Got you, Margaret.
Audrey C. in Virginia.
Got you, Audrey. Do we have anyone else who wants to get in on this first lineup?
Vanessa G.
Hey, Vanessa. And Vanessa, where are you from again?
New Mexico.
New Mexico. I knew that. All right. Got you down.
Thank you.
Anyone else? All right. We've got Janice P.M., Margaret D., Audrey C., and Vanessa G. And Janice, you'll be up first, followed by Margaret D. Good morning, Janice.
And thank you so much, Stephanie, for guiding us through this meeting in this paragraph. I am a recovered compulsive overeater living in Massachusetts. Yeah, this paragraph is very important. You know, some of us have been around a long time. You can probably say, oh, no, we know this. But no, if you're new or if you don't want to do this step, this is guiding us. It's telling us that this is how, these are the directions how to get rid of the past with a trusted servant. Now, I say for myself, I picked my sponsor because there's nothing better than an experienced, recovered, compulsive overeater that has gone through these steps. And that's what my sponsor and a lot of our sponsors have done. Who else? I couldn't, I wouldn't tell a priest because I know that, oh, well, you know, he doesn't know about what, if I tell him, you know, I probably wouldn't really mean it, or, you know, he'll tell me to do some prayers. But a real compulsive overeater that is recovered has been through this process. So I can confide. And, you know, I've been talking to a sponsor ever since, what, my first step. Most of us have. So, you know, that I have trust in that. I can confide in that sponsor. She knows a little bit about me. And on page 18 in our big book, it says there's no one better than an ex-problem eater, drinker. They've been through this, done that. So, you know, as long as she's a trusted servant, and, you know, most of us are, in general, that's why you don't tell everything out you know, at a meeting, only because, like, specifics, because you never know. If they're, you know, not recovered and they don't know anonymity, and it could be very, very unfortunate, you know, because somebody doesn't know about anonymity. But a sponsor who is an ex-problem eater is the one that I chose, and I was very comfortable. So when it came to be telling my shame, being shameful, or my secrets, or listening to her direction, I mean, it's a back and forth, give and take. So it was more than helpful. She gave me choices, what I could do about it or what I shouldn't do about it. And so that's really, you know, what I had to do. That's my experience because I was so shameful. Oh, boy. You know, I have a double personality. I was a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And I didn't want you to see my insides. I wanted you to just see how I dressed, how I looked, la, 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 because I knew who I really was. So, you know, God wants 100% honesty. And boy, I wrote, yes, okay. I wrote many steps and left the biggest thing out, and I kept relapsing. And today my outside matches my inside. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Janice P.M. from Massachusetts. Next, we've got Margaret D., followed by Audrey C. Good morning, Margaret.
Hey, good morning. I was just delighted when you said D for dog, because that is like my most favoritest creature in the entire universe. So, hey, everybody, it's Margaret D. in Georgia. And this paragraph brings up a couple, maybe thoughts, I don't know. About my experience and what happened. And the first one is that the sentence that says, we search our acquaintance for a closed-mouthed, understanding friend, perhaps our doctor or psychologist. Well, I did go to a psychologist that I had been in counseling with for many, oh my gosh, many, many years. And it was the most frustrating experience of working the steps, for the reason that whenever I tried to see where I was at fault, like wherever there was selfishness, you know, resentment, dishonesty, or fear, he would keep bringing me back to the point, and this was about a family member that had incested me, and he kept bringing me back to the point because he wanted to be supportive of me, that it wasn't my fault because this had happened and it wasn't, you know, and quit being so hard on myself and blah, 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 blah. And when I left after that fifth step, I just felt like what a useless waste of time, because what I wanted was not to be supported in my infirmity, I guess you might say, but I wanted to be shown a different way to think about this, where I could be liberated and free. And one of my sponsors used to say to me all the time, Margaret, how free do you want to be? And that's what would keep me, you know, going on to the next step about I did this, but something feels off with it. The other thing that I want to throw in there is I think one of the reasons why it took me so long to get recovered, it was easily about 25 or 30 years, was because I did not go to my higher power for help. I didn't pray, you know, or ask my higher power who would be a good source or what would be a good time or anything. I just tried to figure stuff out on my own. And invariably, I was like a half an inch off the mark all the time. And so the other thing that I've learned about doing the fifth step, and actually all of the steps, is always, always, always pray and ask your higher power for direction, for inspiration, for an intuitive thought or decision. Because even though I was working the steps, I was working them my way by myself, and it just didn't work. I love you all, and with that, I pass.
Perfect timing, Margaret D. Thank you so much. That was Margaret D. from Georgia. Next, we've got Audrey C., followed by Vanessa G. Good morning, Audrey. Audrey, we need you to hit star one to unmute, please.
Sorry about that. This is Audrey C. in Virginia. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. So this passage is, it really hit for me because I had so much anxiety about working step five. And I was just so fearful about sharing, you know, my secrets and all the wrongs that I've done with someone else. But ultimately it was my sponsor that I shared it with. And just admitting everything out loud to her and to God, I immediately felt like a weight lifted. And it was just like such freedom that I'm, you know, not stuck with this for the rest of my life, that the promises in the book were coming true. And I'm just so thankful for this program that I don't have to, you know, harbor the past, and I can move forward and feel freedom. And thank you, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Audrey C. from Virginia. Next, we've got Virginia. I almost said, next we have Virginia. Next we have Vanessa G. from New Mexico. Good morning, Vanessa. And Vanessa, if you could hit star one to unmute, please.
Sorry about that, guys. This is Vanessa G., recovered in New Mexico. There's a couple of sentences in here that are really interesting to me. It's interesting to me because I can do these things now. The first one is, such parts of our story we tell to someone who will understand, yet be unaffected. And that sentence applies to me as a sponsor. And I found that if I go through this process, you know, as best I can, and actually take these steps myself, by the end of that process, when I go to sponsor someone, I can understand yet be unaffected. It's an amazing thing. It's sort of magical almost. Well, definitely miraculous, just like my recovery from compulsive overeating. Being a sponsor comes about, comes with that responsibility of understanding. And God gives me that. I didn't have it before. Although I didn't realize it at the time when I first went through these steps, I was an extremely judgmental person. I was the resident expert on everything, and I have to fight that to this day. But I'm not any smarter than anyone else. And I'm not any better at discerning, you know, what's good and bad than anyone else. But, you know, several times in this book, this is maybe the second time in this book, that they really are teaching us. They taught us a lot in the fourth step. And now here in the fifth step, I am learning about being empathetic, compassionate. By the time I get to step 10, I'm told that love and tolerance of others is our code. I did not have that capability until I went through these steps. And being hard on myself, but always considerate of others, the rule is, right? It comes. It really comes. If I start to do this as best I can, by the time I get to the end, I do have love and tolerance. Or in today's, you know, language, empathy, compassion. Understanding. And it's such a gift. It's such a gift. I'm glad to resign as the resident expert, as the judge and jury. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Vanessa G. from New Mexico. And before I get some more names, let me remind everybody where we are. We're in Into Action on page 74. We're on the first full paragraph, beginning with, if we cannot or would rather not do this, ending with, but always considerate of others. And we read and we're commenting on just that one paragraph this morning. And if you would like to share, please give us your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Carla C., Lake Cat, Wisconsin.
All right, Carla, I've got you. Quiet group this morning. I know there's other people who want to share.
Barbara A., California.
I've got you, Barbara.
Lynn D., California.
Was that Lynn D.?
Yes, Lynn D., California. Thank you.
All right. Got you, Lynn. And do we have anyone else? And we have plenty of time, folks. Well, we'll pause there. I've got Carla C., Barbara A., Lynn D. Carla, you're going to be up first, followed by Barbara. And yeah, good morning, Carla. You're up. And Carla, if you can hit star one to unmute, please.
I was rambling away.
Hi, Carla. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. So when my sponsor bought up the fifth step and made the date, my daughter had a big basketball game. I have to make it to my daughter's game. And she just told me about myself, which was pretty painful to hear. Well, you want to sit in a parking lot at the fast food restaurant and miss a game. It was just very hard to hear. And then she reminded me of how much work we did in step four. Right, my part was probably the hardest thing I'd ever done. And to just leave it like that would have been incomplete. She was very good at I guess I needed convincing to go ahead and finish the steps. 1, 2, 3, and 4 was the, I guess, foundation to get to 5. And then 5 was such a cleansing. I mean, I cried like a baby. I was on my knees. It was really, really intense. I had the kind of sponsor who did not put up with any rationalizing, minimizing, justifying, sugarcoating. She was very, the facts only, like a detective of some sort. She was so annoying, but she was amazing too. Because I was able to get abstinent and to have a beautiful life without the mental obsession of lunch, dinner, snacks, after snack, what am I going to have? So step 5 was vital, and it was amazing. I have, sorry to say, since gone back into the food, but it's so great to be back in the meeting. Consistency, I have found, is keeping me, getting me closer to abstinence. I still haven't quite made it there, but I am able to let go of some pretty red alcoholic foods, which is amazing. So I'm so glad you all came in this morning, and thank you so much for letting me share. Thank you for your service.
Well, thank you so much, Carla C., and I'm so glad you're here. Next up, we've got Barbara A., followed by Lynn D. Good morning, Barbara.
Thank you, moderator. This is Barbara A., Central Coast, California. Grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater by the grace of God. So grateful to be on a meeting and to listen to these wonderful shares. Thank you for starting us off, the reader, with gratitude. I heard that a lot, and I live in gratitude so much today. The first line, if we cannot or would not rather do this, I never read rather do this. It's so polite. Oh, I just rather not do this. I'd rather not expose myself. It is a choice. It's a choice. We can do this I'd rather not do this. Yeah, you have that choice. And the beauty is how it will change the life you have. It changed mine. And the last line, it said, "We who understand the rule is we must be hard on ourselves, but always considerate of others." That was a hard one for me to wrap around my head because I was always hard on myself. Always. I was always so cruel to myself, so demanding. But here, after reading this paragraph and understanding and doing the fourth step and getting ready to do the fifth step, this comes out of love, to be hard, tough love on yourself. Not hard like, oh, you're going to make yourself wrong and you're terrible. That tough love of this is going to be a loving and healing experience, and one you won't want to miss. Always considerate of others. Yeah. How many times I wanted to tell someone they were wrong and they made me feel this way. It was their fault. By the grace of God and this meeting and listening to all of you, I have learned how to do a step five after years in the program and years of not wanting to do it. I'd rather not do it for years, but finally making the choice. And that's what I have today. Thank you for being there. Thank you for all who make this meeting possible. And I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Barbara A. from California. Next, we've got Lynn D. from California. You're up, Lynn. Good morning.
Thank you so much for your service and everyone that makes this meeting possible. I'm Lynn D. from San Diego, California. I think I shared Monday, but it might have been Tuesday. Anyway, pretty sure it's just the third day. You know, for me, what I had to do right after my step four was schedule my step five because I couldn't hold on to it, right? Like, I just did the most thorough housekeeping I've ever done. And, I'm a great analyzer and rethinking and looking back at it, but really what I needed to do was give it away. And so the best thing I did was schedule my step five with a kindier fellow in program with a kindier. And then after I scheduled it, just really getting prepared for a long talk and, you know, tears and stuff, but really a talk. And, I have some more awareness from it that I didn't have before. If that's all I got out of it, great. The other thing, too, was, you know, some character defects like perfectionism and stuff prevented me from writing it or saying it a certain way. And, you know, it didn't have to be like that. I could just say it however I wanted to. Scheduling it and actually doing it. Because, you know, I'm all about the reward, right? Like, I was definitely a reward eater. You do something good, you get a treat. So all my hard work of doing step four, I totally wanted the reward of step five and the promises and that come with that, and the freedom and the relief and the stripping of shame and guilt and all of that. And being able to be aware and change my tape about really, really, really hard facts that I had ingrained in me that I was able to change about family members, especially my parents. So, yeah, don't, you know, they say don't leave before the miracle happens. You know, don't schedule your fifth step right after your fourth step. So, anyways, happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much. Have a great day. Bye.
Well, thank you so much, Lindy from California. And I'm going to get another lineup. Please give us your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Nancy C., Washington.
All right, Nancy, got you.
Judith R.
I've got you, Judith. And where are you calling from, Judith?
Vermont.
Vermont. Got ya. And who else would like to share? We got plenty of time. I'll do two or three more after this, after these two. Quiet group this morning. You guys are making me work hard. All right. Well, while some other people think about sharing, we'll go with these two. I've got Nancy C. followed by Judith R. Nancy, you're up first. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Nancy C. in Washington State. This paragraph was for me, is for me, really a design for living, not just about the fifth step, but something that I really didn't understand before I worked the steps, which was who is it appropriate to talk to and who is it not appropriate to talk to about my problems, my issues, my disease, my anything, my resentments. So I had a tendency to, you know, I have a problem with somebody, and a lot of my fourth step is about my problem with these relationships and people that I are mad at or hate. I mean, I really did hate some people. And so I would think about the way to fix those relationships and the way to fix them and the way to fix me was just to talk to them about it. Okay. And this paragraph tells me, no, this is not, it talks about how we don't disclose anything to our family that will hurt them or make them unhappy. So I learned, and then I learned it again and continued to maintain it in the 10th step of like, we might need to talk to somebody right away about a problem. I might need to talk to somebody right away, but I don't go first to that person and make things worse. I go to a trusted member of the program, usually my sponsor, or to other of my partners in recovery. So this thing about being hard on myself, I really have had to reinterpret that word. I heard another share on that. The hard on myself in this case is, for me, it's that I don't go with that impulse to go to the person that and burden another person with my unresolved own issues that I haven't even looked at myself yet. I have a strict boundary there. First I go and I talk to a trusted person, or I use meditation, or I use the tools of the program before I go to other people. So that's the heart on myself is really about a boundary that this program has, and the steps have so helped me to understand where that I do have help other places, to go to my higher power first. And so thank you very much. That's it. Yes.
That is perfect timing, Nancy C. from Washington State. Thank you so much. And next we've got Judith R. from Vermont. Good morning, Judith.
Thanks, Stephanie. Judith R. in Vermont, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. I've been struggling with this all morning, trying to understand how Bill could be so casual about if we cannot or would rather not do this. So I looked back at the previous paragraph, and I'm starting to believe, I could be wrong, that maybe he meant if we cannot or would not do this, give this to someone from our religion. Because he goes on to say, it's not that we don't do the fifth step, it's that we might not do it with a priest or rabbi or imam, but we might want to, hopefully, I totally go with doing it with my sponsor for somebody who's been through it. So I don't know if that's accurate or not, but if we cannot or would not rather give our fifth step to someone from our religion, then we search for an acquaintance and all these different ways of, and back then they probably, I don't know, they probably didn't have as many sponsors as we do now. And so now it's so much, so much better to go to someone who's been through it. And I'm glad people are talking about being hard on oneself, because I am so hard on myself that people will comment on it when they've known me for 20 minutes. It's so embarrassing. So as soon as I saw that, I'm sort of allergic to that word. But I have gotten what people have been saying this morning. It's not beating myself up. It's going through the process of step five. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Judith R. from Vermont. And we probably have time for, let's see, two more. Who would like to share on that paragraph on page 74?
Kim M., Washington.
Was that Kim M., as in Mary from Washington?
Kim, from Washington. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm sorry. It broke up a little bit. You said Kim M.?
Ann M.
Ann M. I'm so sorry about that. Okay. Got you, Ann.
No worries.
Amy K. in Virginia.
Great. We'll stop there. I've got Ann M. from Washington, Amy K. from Virginia. Good morning, Ann.
Everybody, thanks for taking my name. I appreciate it. This reminds me that, and almost every paragraph in this chapter and the steps remind me of humility. And that lack of humility is where I find it's most difficult, because pride is there blocking my need to be humble. And I had such fear about that. In the big book, there's 9 pages that refer to humility. I have a little, like an index card that I got at a meeting years ago. But it, you know, every step, it takes a humble admission for me to get through this, even admitting that I had a problem years ago. And then the fear blocks that, because of the pride. And this is truly, I have written in my book some years ago, that it's a death of the spirit, and meaning that I was engaged on a life and death errand, which is 2 paragraphs ahead. But and that for me was the death of my spirit when I could not admit my character defects. I mean, and fear underlies everything. So I so appreciate this. The results we learned later are just freeing. And for me, that's true. And I find it easier and easier to admit these faults daily to someone, and a sponsor or not. And that is so helpful. And I truly appreciate everybody's shares, because it helps me through this kind of difficult. Life is difficult, isn't it? Sometimes, but this makes it so much easier when I have this path and this journey. So thanks so much, everybody, and appreciate.
Well, thank you so much, Ann M. from Washington. And Amy K., you're up next. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning. My name is Amy K. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Virginia. These 2 sentences, we have no right to save our own skin at another person's expense, and the rule is that we must be hard on ourselves but always considerate of others. These things are absolutely acts against my will. what I really want to do is blame you for my misery. I really want to locate my okayness out there in the world and unfortunately depend upon you as a higher power, where your job is to make me feel good about myself, and if I feel bad, it's somehow your fault. The fact of the matter is, though, that that doesn't work. I'd spent an early lifetime doing that, blaming other people for what was wrong with me. The greatest statement of hope in the Big Book is that we see that our troubles are of our own making. It means that no one has to change. Nothing has to be any different in the material realm for me to be okay. I have to change. But what step four and step five prove to me is that I cannot carry this alone. And I want to do it alone. I want to figure it all out by myself. I want to operate from the safe, hermetically sealed room of the control tower in my head, where my big brain, the God of reason, the thing that I use as a higher power most prevalently resides, like a tyrant dictating the way the world should be. Unfortunately, when I try to heroically go it alone, I slip into distraction and denial and pretending, and now I'm a dishonest person because I'm dependent upon you feeling good about me so that I can feel good about myself, and my whole life becomes a lie. And when I don't step into this step five action of confessing, I do not learn the softening lessons of humility. I want to live with a hard heart. I think that's the way to protection. But it's not. A soft and open heart that is willing to be broken over and over again because it is held in the hands of God is the only way for me to live. It is the only way for me to step forward into all that God has for me. Otherwise, I'm constantly living in the past with my resentments where things didn't go the way I thought they should, or in the future when I'm afraid that things aren't going to turn out the way they should. And I, as somebody else said, I'm learning empathy and compassion from a sponsor who is listening to all of this, who is allowing me to stand in my suffering, but not letting me do it alone. Connection is the opposite of addiction, and that's what I find here. I get connected to God, I get connected to others, and I finally get to make a connection to my true self, who God made me to be. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Amy K. from Virginia. All right, and we will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Teresa M., can you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Absolutely. This is Teresa M., compulsive overeater in North Carolina. And sorry, I just lost my page. 164. Let the book close. All right, here we go. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.